Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Those are the words familiar to us from John the Baptist as recorded in the King James Version of the verse that opens the gospel that we just heard from John. These words, or something close to them, are familiar to us here because we hear them regularly in our liturgy. Not just when this passage from John's gospel is proclaimed, but every week. In the Gloria, at the beginning of our worship, we say or sing together, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. And after the fraction, when the consecrated bread, the body of Christ, is broken, we say or sing the Agnus Dei, O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. In today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist's words foreshadow the critical truth that Jesus, as the Son of God, comes to wield his power in a very surprising way. For Jesus, the Son of God, comes as a lamb, as one who offers his life as a sacrifice, who refuses to conquer the world through force, but rather transforms the world, conquering sin not violently by overthrowing it, but rather by wiping away the wages of sin through the loving sacrifice of his life, and by calling into existence a people who seek to follow him in that example. Two disciples, Andrew and another, hear this testimony from John that this man walking before them is the Lamb of God, and they are moved to follow. After spending the day with Jesus, Andrew is inspired to find his brother, Simon, who had become Cephas or Peter, to bring him to follow Jesus as well. And those brothers, Peter and Andrew, would share the good news that this Lamb of God had come into the world to take away the sins of the world, with many more, who would share it with many more, and so on to this day. Each one of us who is here today comes from a long line of followers, individuals and communities of believers who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, invited others to come and see this Jesus, this Lamb of God. The collect appointed for today helps us understand what it means for us as people to follow Andrew and Peter and all of the saints through the ages in their following of the Lamb of God, in their willingness to model their lives after one who was willing to lay down his life as a sacrifice so that others might know what God's love looks like, so that the world might be reconciled to God. Today's collect refers to the light of the world that shines for all the world to see, echoing both the passage from Isaiah that we just heard, as well as the familiar opening verses of John's gospel in that first chapter. In Isaiah, God refers to one that he will give as a light to the nations, that his salvation may reach to the end of the earth. In the opening verses of John's prologue, which we proclaim here on Christmas Day, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus, as the Savior, the Lamb of God, and the light of the world, shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome the light. As we prayed in today's collect, we are called to be a people illumined by God's word and sacraments, to shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Just as the brightness of the moon reflects the radiance of the sun, we are to reflect the glory of God by basking in the light of the world. As we hear God's word, as we participate in his sacraments in worship, we are illumined such that God's light is reflected throughout the world. We become the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Peter and Andrew would spend the rest of their lives illumined by the light of the world, shining with the radiance of Christ's glory, so that others might know, worship, and follow the same Lamb of God who called them to come and see. In following Jesus, Peter and Andrew were likewise ultimately willing to forsake their lives so that the world might know the Lamb who sacrificed his life. Like Jesus, both Peter and Andrew would die by crucifixion, Andrew being crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece, and Peter being crucified on an inverted cross in Rome. Both through their lives and through their deaths, they were illumined by the light of the world and reflected the glory of the Lamb. Throughout our history as a people, we have had the examples of many saints who have by word and deed, and sometimes by their death, reflected that glory. As many of you know, today is the 88th birthday of another such saint, who followed in that great tradition, who refused to meet the violence of the world with more violence, but instead, illumined by God's word and sacraments, shone forth with the power of the Lamb's nonviolent, self-sacrificing love. Like Peter and Andrew, Martin Luther King Jr. also followed Jesus to his death. Though his crucifixion was by a means tragically much more common in our world today, King's sacrificial death was hastened by bullets propelled by hate and fear, not unlike the bullets that killed nine of our brothers and sisters in Charleston just over 2 years ago. Tomorrow, this nation will remember King's life and witness and the contributions that he made to our common life as he dedicated his life and ultimately sacrificed it to overcome evils that plague our society: racism, war, poverty, and ignorance. As Christians, we remember him not merely as a positive force for progress within our wider culture, but we also remember him as another saint, like Peter and Andrew, another witness in the long tradition of those who have answered the invitation to follow the Lamb. In reflecting on the life of nonviolence to which he was called as a follower of Jesus, King wrote, "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The light to which Dr. King testified is the very same light of the world that we worship here today. The light that shines forth from the Lamb of God. The light that the darkness cannot overcome. We gather here today so that we might be soaked in that light. That we might be illumined by it. That we might shine forth with its radiance, that the Lamb of God might be known through us.